All right, 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to preach a few messages on false prophets. It's something that I've just been really... I stay troubled about it all the time. As I talk to people and look around me, I just see so the confusion of faith that Jeremiah talked about. And everybody, we're living in a time when everything's upside down. Your mind. I preached on that for weeks. Your mind and your heart, and trying to help you, and it helped me to understand about how things work, how we work. But I look around and I don't see it in practice with very many people. They don't get it. They may understand it as knowledge and intellectually speaking, but there's a disconnect somewhere about putting it into practical application in your life. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. It don't do you any good to have knowledge. It don't do you any good for somebody to preach to you and teach you if you don't put it into practice. You got to put it in your pocket and you got to carry it out the door. And when you get out there in this world and your work and in your family at home and in your own private life, you've got to use what you have been given. I mean, it ought to control your behavior. It ought to change your behavior, and not just your behavior. It's deeper than your thinking. It's the way people think that drives me crazy. I just can't understand. What in the world is the matter with everybody? You know, where is your mind and where is your reasoning? I want to ask a lot of people as I talk to them. Can't you see? No, they can't see. Bible talks about their minds being blinded. And we're in danger of that. You are in danger of that. And it happens through a lot of things. The deceit of our own heart. Yes, yes, of course. But we're always listening, aren't we? Always listening to somebody. Always listening to something. We're big old whirlpools swallowing up information all the time nowadays. We don't read books, but we read memes, and we read and we listen to little sound bites, and we watch little video clips, and that's where all of our information comes from. And it's just little drips and dribbles, and it's all disconnected, but the devil does a good job of connecting it all in your mind to give you this false idea and view of things, this warped idea and view of things. I know what I'm talking about, but I don't know if anybody else does or not. I don't know if anybody else is thinking. I don't know if you look around and at the insanity going on around us, among us, and you don't wonder, what in the world? Yeah. You know, there's a standard that we go by. Right here it is. The Word of God. It's written. It is written, said Jesus to the devil. The devil said that to Jesus, don't forget. It is written. He tried to use the Word of God to tempt the Son of God. You don't think he'll do that with you? You think he's just going to use lust of the flesh to tempt you when he used the Word of God to tempt the Son of God? No, he'll use the Word of God to mess you up. You have to rightly divide it. And nobody's capable of that. We need help to do that. The Ethiopian eunuch needed help. He was reading in Isaiah 53, the very scripture talking about the Savior. And he didn't know what he was reading about. He said, Philip said, I understand what you're reading. He said, how can I? I said, some man show me. So old Philip climbed up there in the chariot with him and showed him, and he understood. Now that's the way it works. It's worked that way with me. Hasn't it worked that way with you? Oh yeah, it has. Somebody helped you to understand. Somebody will help you to misunderstand too. And that's what we're talking about this morning, false prophets. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But let's back up. Let's read the last verse of the previous chapter, because you know God didn't write the Bible with chapters and verses. You know that, don't you? It wasn't that way. Men did that. It's helpful to us. for navigating and finding things. But the chapter division doesn't start another, it doesn't change gears and all of that. You need to read the continuity of it. The last verse of chapter 1, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false prophets or false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." All right, I'll stop there because we'll continue with this later, but you see that how it was. Even while the holy men of old, being inspired by the Holy Ghost of God, penned the Word of God, during that time there were false prophets among them. There always have been, there are right now, and there always will be among us false prophets. They're not in one camp, and the right people are in another camp. They're all mixed together. The kingdom of God, the tares and the wheat, remember? That's how it is. Like it or not, believe it or not, that's just the way it is. We're not all divided into separate camps. We're mixed all together. Makes it more difficult. Makes it more dangerous. There were false prophets in the beginning, and there will always be false prophets. God suffers them for the trial of... You say, why don't God just separate them? Well, this is the church age. I mean, this is not the millennium. This is not the finished thing. Jesus, the kingdom of heaven started when Jesus came, and this is the way it is. And he taught us about that, and I've just been preaching about that. And so this is the way it is. There's going to be false prophets among us. There's going to be false teachers among us. There's going to be false professors among us. Among us. You cannot separate from them completely. They're among us. And they always will be. And they always have been. Get that. Get that. You know, I made a remark here a while back of preaching in the mind and stuff about how that when you're young in the faith, you see in black and white. And as you grow, you reach a point where you can see in color. And you can see things more clearly. And you can understand things more deeply. But you can never get to the point where that you can just clearly separate the tares from the wheat by just looking out across the crowd, looking and listening to a few things they say. It's a tedious thing. It's a hard thing. It's a difficult, complicated thing. But we're commanded to beware of false prophets. Beware. Jesus warned us and warned us. God suffers them among us for the trial of our faith and to strengthen and reveal the true saints of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 19 says this, "For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you." How about that? There must be heresies among you. It's always going to be. You know, I get tired of it. I get discouraged with it. I get tired of fooling with it. Why don't people just believe the truth? And stand there. Why is everybody jumping the fence all the time? And breaking out like an old wild cow or something that you can't keep in? Why can't you just get inside the fence and stay there? In the truth. And walk in the truth. Well, part of it's because of these false teachers among us. And false teachers and the heresies. But God doesn't separate it out now. Remember they said, you want us to go pull the tares up? And he said, no, you just got to leave them there because you're pulling up the tares, you're going to kill the wheat. Just leave them. And when the harvest comes, we'll separate them then. And that's the way it is with the church. That's what he's talking about, the kingdom of heaven. Heresies make men sharpen their wits and their swords. Nothing stirs me up and nothing makes me dig deeper than being challenged or being... or running head on, face on into some heresy or some mixed up false prophet. The false prophets are among the true people of God and among the true prophets of God. The false prophets don't have their own churches and organizations separate from those that belong to God. The kingdom of heaven during the church age is such that they are so intermingled that it's impossible to put them into separate camps. Until Christ takes his church out of this world, there will always be false prophets among you, no matter what camp you're in. So if you're looking for the perfect church, you'll never find it. If you're looking for the perfect denomination or movement, you're never, never, never going to find it. Doesn't exist. There's always false prophets and false teachers and false professors among them. False prophets are imposters. And they're pretending to be what they're not. They're actors. You know what a good actor is, don't you? We used to make fun of them old Roy Rogers movies because it's such poor acting. Some of them old time things when they first started all them movies, man, it's pitiful. It's terrible acting. But there's people who can act, aren't there? I don't know why anybody would want to marry an actor or an actress. They are professional liars and deceivers. That's what they are. That's why the theater was always frowned upon by God's people, because it was deceit and lying. Basically, that's what it is. You got the best liars you can find to put one over on the people. You don't think the devil can do that with preachers behind pulpits? I mean, he is expert at that. They're imposters. Jesus said they were wolves in sheep's clothing. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets, said Jesus, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. They come to you. He said they're going to come to you in sheep's clothing. They're not really what they appear to be and what they're trying to make you think they are. Beware of them. All right, you're listening to me. You cannot take somebody at just what they say. Right? You can't take anybody for just what it looks like. From what they say, the way they appear, their personality, their emotionalism. You cannot believe. A good actor can cry tears. A good actor can make you think. I mean, that's the deal, see? People get so involved in these TV shows and movies and stuff till they honestly, in their heart, they are so convinced these people are who they're portraying themselves to be that that's really who they are, and it ain't who they are. They're pretending to be somebody on the camera that doesn't exist. And you get all infatuated or whatever with this person that doesn't exist. And they see this actor and they think that he's really, or she is really, this character that they played. And they're not. You know? There never was anybody like Barney Fife. He was never a real person. That was an actor pretending to be Barney Fife. An imaginary character. You are so immersed in that it's hard for you to deal with that, ain't it, really? You know him. I mean, you just know him so well that, ain't that right? You get what I'm talking about? False prophet will do you the same way. He'll make you fall in love with this character that he's pretending to be. Well, I hate to say things like this because I don't want to discourage or hurt people, but I want you to be wise and not foolish when it comes to this matter. I'm so tired of people being carried away with these characters and these deceivers. You know, I have been with preachers, and I've watched them preach and heard them preach, and I thought, wow, you know, that's something. But then I've been with them when they're not in the pulpit, when they're in a restaurant or somewhere, or in a dorm at a camp meeting somewhere. And boy, you talk about a different character in private than he is when he's behind the pulpit. Shocking. Yeah, I've heard profanity, dirty jokes. I've seen him be rude and mean to people in restaurants and hateful. And then get in the pulpit and you'd think they was John the Baptist. False prophet. Now, you can just believe what you want to believe. But when I see two, when I see a split personality, then that ain't, that tells me something right there. Because Jesus said they'll come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly. They're pretending to be what they are not. They got on an outward costume and they're projecting this image that they want you to love, this personality, this voice, this emotionalism, whatever. And they win you with that. And people worship, they really do, preachers. They were doing it in the New Testament back here in the early days of the church. Some were of Paul and some were of Apollos and others of Cephas. Remember that? And Paul reprimanded them for it and said, you shouldn't be doing that. What are you doing? This is about Christ. This is His church. What are you doing? Honoring and exalting men and having favorites and coming to church so that you can feed your... whatever it is, your preferences, passions, nonsense. They're not really what they appear to be, and they try to make you, what they try to make you think they are. They're wearing a disguise that's designed to fool everybody about what they really are. They really, really look like a sheep. And they really, really sound like a sheep. Yeah, boy. If an actor on a screen for money can cry and be emotional and make you cry with a fake, phony story, why do you think that a professional actor in the pulpit couldn't do the same thing to you? Because he's doing it for money also, and he's doing it to promote the next meeting and another meeting, and if he performs well enough, and if he moves your emotions enough, and if he wins you to himself enough, he's got another meeting down the road lined up quickly and another offering. It's right. You ought to be faithful to God and truth, not false prophets. You shouldn't be so foolish as to be so easily won with words and emotion. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. Preaching is not always candy and sweet stuff and heaven and whooping it up. Real preaching is going to deal with your heart and what's wrong with you. If it don't do that, then it's not really... it's not what God sent, because that's what the church is for. And that's what the preachers are commanded to do, is to reprove and exhort and rebuke. That's the kind of things that the preacher's supposed to do. Not tell you emotional stories and not make you laugh one minute and cry the next and take you on an emotional roller coaster ride for an hour or 30 minutes. And then let you go thinking and going home feeling real good because you've been in church and you've just laughed and you've shouted and you've cried and, oh, God met with us. Baloney. That ain't the way it was when God met with anybody in the Bible. There's never any kind of meeting described like that in the Bible. There's meetings where they did shout. But it wasn't like what I've seen that they call God meeting with them. And there was meetings in the Bible where everybody wept. That's when God met with them. Yeah. But it wasn't about some sad story. Well, I was in a meeting here, it's been several years ago, and oh my, I was My blood was just boiling till I couldn't understand it. I mean, if there was a bad spirit there, I was one of them, because I'm telling you, preacher preaching did a fairly decent job. And, you know, there was conviction. But then somebody else jumped up there and took over. And it just absolutely destroyed the whole thing. Grieved the Holy Ghost right out of the place. Telling a big, long, like 15-minute story about some boy that went away. And he come back, and his mama tied white little rags on a tree so he would know he was welcome home when he came. It's nonsense. Not a spiritual word in it. Not a word of truth in it. Nothing but a bunch of emotional nonsense. Made up. Junk. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. God left. I mean, if I got any discernment and of spiritual things in God's presence, I know that God left the place. It was just like something just sucked all the air right out of the doors. And that's what it felt like to me. Gone. But the thing about it is, I look around and there's a lot of people that's crying. Of course, nobody did anything. Nobody went to the altar and got anything right. Everybody just cried about this sad story that he told. You think, no, man, wake up. Don't buy that junk. Don't be so easily sold on nonsense and foolishness and lies. They really, really look like a sheep, though, a lot of times, and really, really sound like a sheep. But when you lift the cover and you under which they're hiding, you see that they're not a sheep, but something very ugly and profane. You think it's a sheep and you lift it up and it's an old wolf. A ravening wolf, devouring. False prophets are deceived about the truth. They're deceived about themselves and about what's happening around them and about God. Here's what I see in this, and I believe it's right. False prophets are not all aware that they are deceiving people and that they are deceived themselves. Most of them really, really believe that they are preaching the truth of God. And they really believe that they're doing the work of God. Jeremiah 23, verse 21. God said, "I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied." Now that's God saying, "I did not send them. And I did not tell them to say that. They said it out of their own heart." The other verse down here is going to say that. Then the Lord, in Jeremiah 14:14, "Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spoke unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their own heart." Now, there's a whole sermon right there. What does the false prophet preach? He preaches, they prophesy unto you a false vision. They prophesy unto you and they talk about a divination. False, that's divination, that's discernment. They think they have. It's false. They preach and prophesy a thing of naught. You know what that means? Nothing. Ain't worth nothing. It's just nonsense. It's just worthless jabber and gibberish. Yeah, fiction. Not real. Thing of naught. And the deceit of their heart. So I'm saying to you, they're deceived in their own heart. They believe they are true prophets of God. And they'll even proclaim it. I've known men who claimed that they were apostles. I've known men who said they were apostles. Yeah, I'm not talking about Pentecostals. I'm talking about independent, fundamental, King James, by independent Baptists that said they were apostles. They rest the scriptures and to support the distorted ideas they have embraced. They use the Word of God to justify and support their ideas, but they do not originate from the Word of God, but from their own fleshly, worldly, carnal hearts. That's why Jeremiah wrote down what God said back there. Same way back then. Same way it is right now. They rest the Scriptures to support these distorted ideas that they have embraced. You got people that just believes all kinds of crazy, weird stuff. And maybe you have never run into them, but I have. And I have sat in their houses, and I've preached in their churches, and I've been with them in meetings, and I've talked to them on the phone, and they're crazy, man, with their wild ideas. But they are totally convinced that they got it from the Bible, and they didn't get it from the Bible. They got it from some kook somewhere who got it from the devil himself. And they just search the Scriptures to find verses that they can rest and twist and view from that angle, and it looks like the Bible supports them. And it doesn't. But the devil used that trick on Jesus Christ himself. Be wise to it. Read the Bible. Compare Scripture with Scripture. Not Scripture with what some man wrote. You'll be all right. God's Word is complete enough. It is sufficient enough for you to get the understanding that you need from the Bible without having to have some man put his 2 cents worth into you. Now, it's like we said at the beginning, we do need help from one another. But it needs to be in a local church setting. And this time that we're living in, see, we're way more vulnerable. If we'd have been here 50 years ago, and the church here was across the road then, but if you'd have been here then, you wouldn't have had your phone, and you wouldn't have had internet, and you wouldn't have had 50 channels on the television. You'd have had one and maybe two here in this town. Your exposure to the world, your exposure to other religions would have been limited to just the people around this little town here, and the very few things you might have seen on that one channel on TV. Now you've got the phone, you got your computers, you got everything, and we're bombarded with every kind of false idea and teaching, and all of the imps of hell are turned loose on the world and everybody. And you're exposed to everything. Hundreds of ideas and little suggestions in your mind about everything. And it ain't no wonder that the truth is falling in the street. Falling in the street ain't worth nothing anymore. I mean, it's falling in the street like a piece of trash blowing down the street. Or like an old beer can rolling down the sidewalk. That's what truth is nowadays to everybody. It's not valued. It's not counted as anything unusual. What is truth? That's my truth. That's his truth. Everybody's got their truth. I see where we're at. That's a lie out of hell. There ain't but one truth, and it's God's truth, and this here is the truth. It is the only truth. And if you don't get it from here, you better not bank on it being the truth. They're sometimes hard to identify, false prophets, false teachers, even false professors. They're hard to identify or recognize because they masquerade as ministers of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13 through 15. This is a real important scripture. And everybody here ought to get it in your heart and memorize it. It's key to understanding this matter right here. For such are false apostles. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. For such are false apostles. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You think the devil's got a pitchfork and horns and he's red and he's got that tail and, oh, anybody recognize the devil? He's got one of them little goatee beards, you know. Everybody recognize the devil. No, even Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan appears as an angel. And everybody is all into angels, ain't they? It's one of the best-selling things. If you got a store, if you got any kind of thing, you do. Angels sell, buddy. Wasn't it at the florist? They told us that was one of their best-selling things for funerals and things like that. Angels, man. Angels will sell. Everybody's into Satan himself. He is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Satan appears an angel of light. His ministers appear as ministers of righteousness. They don't appear as liberal panty waist, telling everybody that it's okay to drink and commit fornication and everything, just loving everybody. Well, I believe they're false teachers too. But the devil's real sharp sword and his real tool is those hellfire and damnation preachers that he sends into the churches. Those who have such high standards, apparently. I've seen them have preach high standards, but live mighty low. Those are ministers of Satan. If you just want me to tell you just how it is, I'm telling you just how it is. If they ain't the same person out of the pulpit as they are in the pulpit, then they're not the real deal. I don't get up here and act. If you want to come and talk to me sometime, you'll hear the same stuff out of me. I won't holler at you as loud, but I mean talking, I'll tell you the same things I tell you right here. And what I say right here is what I believe, and it's what I live by. It's not one thing here and another thing out there. But for many, it is. They put on their preacher suit, and they do their thing, and then when they're done, it's something else altogether. I tell you, there's a thing there that most people just don't really see. When we was over at the meeting over there, Brother Hardin, he's 85 years old. He's an old timer. He's from the old school. He's from the greatest generation. He's been a preacher for 50, 60 some years. When he came to eat lunch with us, he came just like this, suit and tie. I mean, he come sit down to eat lunch. He's a preacher. Yeah. He wants to portray the same image across the board. He don't want you thinking he's something else when he's, well, you know, I can't do this to work in the way I work. Now, they said Don Green always wore a suit when he mowed his grass. If you drove by his house and he's on the lawnmower, he had a suit and tie on. Always. Didn't matter. People think, well, that's kind of kooky. Well, it's a little extreme, and it's a little hard for all of us to do like that, but I understand. I understand. I appreciate that. That tells me something about them. They ain't faking. They ain't living two lives. They ain't got two separate minds and lines of thinking. They don't look at people one way when they're in their pulpit and then another way when they're out. That's right. Oh, well, I'll just let that go. But Jesus told us plainly how to identify them. He said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 20, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit." Well, now, the fruit ain't always there, is it? You don't go out in the winter. You don't go out in the early spring and find fruit, do you? No, it takes a while, don't it? It takes the full cycle of life to produce the fruit. So that makes it kind of difficult, don't it? While this thing is in progress, it's hard for us to say, there's a false prophet, because we can't examine the fruit. There's an idea here that I want to try to get across, but it's one of these things you got to be real careful with. We got to realize here that everybody is a work in progress. If somebody would have came to me 30 years ago and watched me, Some of these old timers might have said, that boy's fake as he can be. I wasn't, but I may have looked like that. I understand that. I do. I understand. So that makes me look at people now and be as gracious as I can be, as merciful as I can be, as liberal as I can be. I hate that word, but I mean as giving them the benefit of the doubt as much as is possible. Maybe it's still a work in progress. Jesus said it's this way. You got to wait until the fruit. Do men gather fruits or grapes of figs? No, you don't. You got to wait until the harvest is done and see what the fruit of it was. You know, there's been men in this country in my lifetime that everybody considered great men of God. But the fruit, they're dead, and the fruit is wretched that came from their ministry and all they did. Man, I don't care how much you love them or loved them, Jesus right here told us that is a bad deal right there. You shall know them by their fruits. A corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit shall ye know them. Fruit's what's produced by their life and their influence. Fruit is the product of their teaching and doctrines. Fruit is the effect or consequence of their life. We can identify a false prophet by the effects and consequences of his doctrine and life. And another mark of a false prophet is that he enjoys an unusual amount of popularity. That's a big one. Better watch that. Better not just fall in line behind the masses as they gather around some man. And a false prophet always enjoys an unusual amount of popularity. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 26, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. Because he said that's just how your ancestors did with the false prophets. They treated them like celebrities, and they followed them and doted on them and made something of them while they lied to them. You bunch of fools. His friends are many and his enemies are few. Jeremiah 5 verse 31, the prophets prophesy falsely and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Wait till it's all over. False prophets produced evil fruit. I've read where, you know, everybody makes so much of Martin Luther, but the generations that followed in Germany were some of the most immoral, wicked people who ever lived there. What's the fruit of the doctrines, of what he teaches, of his influence, of his effect on the people that he influences? What is the result? That's how you know. Jesus said so. And by taking a close look at his friends and his enemies, we can draw some pretty sure conclusions. This is real good stuff right here. Trying to help you to understand how to recognize false prophets. I don't jump on bandwagons anymore. Masses of people and big, great successes and wonderful extended meetings do not impress upon me that this is of God. No. No. I look at who they're associating with and what's going on there. If Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 19, if ye were of the world, the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Birds of a feather flock together. Yes, sir, they sure do. They had a big meeting down in Brownsville, Florida years ago. It went on for months and months. Does any of you remember that? It was called the Laughing Revival. It broke loose one night. It's a bunch of charismatics, a bunch of charismaniacs, I call them. But they were having this meeting. Somebody preached on hell. Now think about this. Some preacher got up and preached about hell and the fire and people going there without Christ. Well, you know. Somebody busted out laughing while he was preaching on hell. And they all determined that that was the Holy Ghost making this person laugh hysterically while the preacher's preaching about the damnation of hell and the judgment of God. Oh, it caught on like a wildfire. Everybody was laughing. Some of them were acting like monkeys, you know, and animals and dogs barking. You know, that's what the Holy Ghost did in that meeting. It was known all over the country. They had this great meeting and God really met with them. Baloney. It was a bunch of devilment and evil wickedness and devils that got in all of those people. The devil was completely in control. Preaching about hell. Mocking. The devil had a laughing revival. Baptists do the same thing. They all get together and they may not chirp like monkeys, but they laugh. And they whoop it up and jump up and down, run around. We was at a church one time and the pastor's son-in-law, they got to running around the church. He ran out the side door and run down the sidewalk on the side and there's a chain link fence there. Well, somebody shut the gate and he didn't know and it was dark. And pow, he ran right in that gate. Broke his arm, I think. I'm sure God was in that, wasn't he? I know another man, they was raising his passage to go to the mission field. Had his money raised to go, had his support, and he had a big Holy Ghost fit and jumped off the platform, broke his leg and couldn't go. Mm-hmm. There was another one I was thinking about. What was that other one I was thinking about? Do what? Oh, well, yeah, I've seen people do that, too. That was over at Midway. That guy come running out of the crowd and jumped into baptistry. But I've heard of all kinds of things like that. You know, we was in a meeting not far from here, and a guy was running around the tent and tripped over one of the guide ropes and broke his arm or leg, I think. Got in there? No. Baptists would get together and just try through emotional stirring to get things worked up to an emotional state where everybody just loses their minds. You're going to have a hard time convincing this old boy that that's of God. I done been to too many of them. And I never met God in one of them, I'll be honest with you. I met God in places where stuff like that wasn't going on. When God meets with His people, there'll be a holy hush over the place. And everybody'll be afraid to move. And there'll be weeping and sobbing and silence. That's the way it is. You don't act irreverent and foolish in the presence of God. No. But false prophets tell people that. And the people love to have it so. They love it that way. This is fun. Church ought to be it ought to be a happy place. Well, it'll be a happy place, but not a foolish, light, irreverent place. It's the house of God. It's the sanctuary of the Lord. And when you come in, there ought to be a reverent spirit in everybody's heart and in their actions. You ought to realize you're in God's house. This is the meeting place where we meet with God. And if God ever meets with us, it'll be a solemn assembly, not a circus. But where false prophets are, it's a circus. Do you remember when Jehoshaphat and Ahab were together and they got the prophets out there? What were them guys doing? All them false prophets? Oh, jumping and
drama. They were dramatizing what it was going to be like when they went up to Ramoth Gilead. I mean, they put their horns on their head and this is the way it's going to be. You're going to. It was a interesting show. Yes. When Elijah on Mount Carmel and the 850 prophets of Baal were there. And what were they doing? They were shouting and leaping on the altar and cutting themselves and crying aloud. I mean, it was a big shout out meeting. But what did it accomplish? Nothing. Elijah said to everybody, just calm down and sit down. Now here's what we're going to do. We're going to hear from God. And they did. All the false prophets, the real prophet. There's your comparison. All right, let me hurry up here. Their doctrine, the false prophets bring in their destructive heresy slowly and quietly and privily, silently and privately. They work one-on-one, a little at a time, to sow the seeds and get things prepared. Their doctrine and their teachings produce consequences contrary to what sound doctrine is supposed to produce. Spiritual growth, holiness, godliness, temperance, patience, all that has been mentioned concerning adding to our faith. And that was in 1 Peter chapter 1. We preached on that here a while back about growing in grace. That's what I'm referring to there. That was right before these scriptures right here. That's what real doctrine, true doctrine, sound doctrine produces. But false doctrine doesn't do that. It produces pride. You listening? Arrogance. Self-centeredness. Apathy. You don't care, really. And infidelity, unfaithfulness. False doctrine produces all of that. By their fruits ye shall know them. Pride. False doctrine produces pride. Brother Owen taught me years ago, I remember him saying that and it just stuck with me. He said, any doctrine that produces, that puffs you up and makes you feel proud or like you are exalted above everybody else, because you know this, is a false doctrine. Because true doctrine from God will make you humble. It'll make you more humble and lowly. It won't exalt you. But I've been around these independent Baptists for years, and let me tell you what's the prevalent result of their preaching. Pride and arrogancy. Because most of those jokers are proud and arrogant. And they let it be known openly. And so their followers are going to be proud and arrogant. They're brawlers. They like to fight. They like to argue. They like to destroy one another. Did you ever have one of them wolves attack you? Well, I have. Yeah, I've been attacked by them. Been bit by them. Mauled by them. And it ain't of God, I can tell you that. What I learned from all that experience is a little more discernment about recognizing false prophets. And as the years have passed and I've been able to see their fruit, yeah, it's just what Jesus said. Thorns and thistles. Produces pride and arrogancy. You shouldn't, I don't believe in a church that is proud of itself. I don't believe that we ought to teach people to be so loyal to the church by just repeating the church's name over and over and over and over and, this Baptist church, Baptist church, and everything. And you're a member of Baptist church and put your loyalty on this thing here, this organization, this work that's ours. And these people get this idea that we're the best church in town. We're the best church probably in this whole state. There ain't no church like our church. Well, you ought to love your church, but you shouldn't be proud of your church. You understand the difference between being proud and loving your church? False doctrine and false teachers produce that, though. They teach you to be proud of this church and the organization and the movement that you belong to. and to defend it and fight for it. False doctrine has as its end turning away from the truth. So the generation that embraces false doctrines and tolerates false teachers will see their children and their grandchildren turn away from the Word of God and righteousness. And that's what will happen. And that's what has happened right in front of us in my lifetime. Their damnable doctrines will be established by replacing the truth and the ways of godliness with something else. They replace the truth and the ways of godliness with emotion and excitement. It doesn't matter how you dress anymore. It doesn't matter where you go anymore. You can go to the movies. You can go to the races. You can go to the dances. You can do everything. As long as you're emotional in church. And as long as you are excited about church. I'm watching kids who I seen born in an independent fundamental Bible believing Baptist, King James Baptist church, who are now contemporary. To the extreme, yeah. And boy, are they enjoying it. Sure looks like they're enjoying it. Boy, are they emotional about it. Boy, are they proud of it. They've flown it. Rub your nose in it. Yeah. These damnable doctrines replace the truth and the ways of godliness with something else. Important causes and works in which to immerse themselves. On these hobby horses that people get on and these causes that they get involved in and all of this. I mean, I hate abortion and I think it's wrong, but I went years ago. They had a meeting in Piedmont, boy, going to fight abortion, going to do all this, but it was at the school. And so some of us went and I went over there. Well, the one running, it was a Catholic. None or something, you know. It's the Catholics that doing it. Well, I seen right away, you know, this ain't no place for me. I ain't going back, and I didn't go back. But some of the others did. I just had no problem with it. Some people get all involved in politics, and they think that's what they need to do. And that's the, you know, no, you just need to be faithful to God. You need to learn God's truth and truths and live in them. And you need to promote them to your children and to others and be an influence on people for God. Instead of involving yourself in the wicked things of the world. I know, most of them don't believe that. Well, are you crazy? Who's going to fix it? God's going to fix it. We ain't going to fix it by doing that stuff. We're throwing our lives away. Teach your children to do that. You're throwing your children's lives away and your grandchildren. Wait till you see what happens to them because their parents are involved in all that stuff. Using entertainment and any worldly, fleshly thing to get people to come to church. That's what they're doing, ain't it? I mean, it looks like a nightclub now. Looks like a rock concert in most churches this morning. The lights ain't on. The lights are out. It's dark. They got smoke. And music and drums and beating and banging and music from hell. Yes. Right. And ungodly, worldly people doing the entertaining. And they're worshiping. This is worshiping now. Hands in there. Oh, what are you worshiping? You ain't worshiping nothing but your own lust. That's what it is. It's idolatry. You ain't worshiping God in that devilment. Don't give me that nonsense. But this kind of a voice is getting quieter and quieter, ain't it? Getting more hushed and hushed and hushed. Because nobody's saying this stuff anymore. You got to realize the new generations is coming. The ones that are being born right now, 20 years. They'll be stepping up. And there's already a couple of three generations like that already on the stage. So what are we going to do? What's going to happen? Where are these kids going to go to church? Where are they going to hear the truth? Who's going to influence their life? What are they going to be? That's why I preach stuff like this. Say, why don't you just talk about the cross? Why don't you just talk about heaven and Jesus coming and all that? Well, I'd love to, but we can talk about that and a bunch will be left behind because you believe the false prophets and you swallow the lies that come down the pipe. Many shall follow them, Jesus said. Many shall follow them. All right, I looked it up again this morning just to make sure of what that word means. It doesn't mean there's a lot of them going to do it. It means the larger part It means most. Jesus said, most people, the great majority of people, let this sink into your head and your heart. The vast majority of the human race are going to follow the false prophets and end up in hell. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, their stealing, deceitful, thieving ways. That's what the word means. So the Bible's telling us here that most people have in the past, they do right now, and they will in the future follow false prophets and not the true prophets of God. Isaiah preached, people wouldn't pay no attention. Jeremiah preached, they wouldn't pay no attention. Ezekiel preached, and they wouldn't pay attention. Daniel, all the rest of them preached, and people, most people, would not even pay attention to them. Y'all got that? They didn't follow them. They were not followed. They followed instead the false prophets who said everything's going to be all right. Everybody just stay calm. God's with us. Peace, peace to everybody. Ain't it wonderful? God's taking care of us. God take care of us. I mean, we are His chosen people. Kind of like you're a child of God and you're eternally saved and don't you ever worry about a thing. No matter what you do, you're going to heaven. I mean, if you may go kicking and screaming, but you're going. He's got you. He's got you in His hand and you're safe and secure and ain't nothing to worry about. Better watch that junk. You sure better watch that junk. It's dangerous. It's a dangerous doctrine. I believe in security of the believer. But you just got to be a believer. You got to be the real deal. In order to have eternal security, you have to have eternal salvation. And most people are just playing games. They've been enticed by a false prophet, made a false profession, and they're a false professor. And they've got false hope and false security. And they're going to be standing there at the judgment when everybody's standing before Christ, and He's going to say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." And they're going to be saying, "Lord, Lord, we did all these marvelous works, and we prophesied in your name. Who are those people? Just what I just described to you. The masses who listen to the false prophets that Jesus warned us over and over. Paul warned us over and over. The Old Testament warned us over and over. Beware of them. Watch them. They're always there. They're always trying to get your ear. The devil never gets weary. He's relentless. Always. He's always a hammering at your door. You got to have some discernment. You got to learn to recognize. Got to hurry. I just got to hurry here. False prophets are never short on followers. There's always many who will follow them. You ever wonder about that? These cults and stuff get up and they say, "That comet's coming and that's the end of the world. Everybody gather in here. Give me all your money. You're fixing to die. Jesus is coming on that comet." And hundreds will follow them. They have all these sex cults where you've been reading in the news maybe a little bit here in the last few months here about that some deal I got up here in New York or somewhere. But they were branding the women with brands like cattle. And they had lots of followers. They'd get them to follow them easy. False prophets don't have any trouble getting followers. True prophets have some trouble getting followers. Ask Isaiah, ask Noah, ask Moses. Yeah, it just doesn't happen. That's the way it happens. The excitement, the emotion, the feeling of being involved in a worthy and noble cause is all very effective in getting people involved and committed. So that's the way a false prophet works. Excitement and enthusiasm and success oriented. That's the way you get people to follow. Everybody likes being in a crowd. Everybody likes big numbers of people. They do. And especially when it comes to church things. And this is a testimony to the depravity of men and their deceived hearts. They'll believe a lie in a heartbeat above the truth. And it's also an indicator of the cleverness of the devil in deceiving men and women into thinking they're serving God while they're in fact serving Satan himself. Ain't that something? He always does it by setting the emotions and feelings against the written truth of the Word of God and then presenting facts that aren't true. Did you get that? That's real important. How does the devil present a false prophet to you? Y'all listening? I might as well quit, I think, here, but... let me read it to you again. He always does it by setting the emotions and feelings against the written truth of the Word of God and then presenting facts that are not facts, they're lies. You go to your feelings. The false prophet gets you to, he speaks to your feelings, your emotions and feelings. That's your desires, what you want and desire. Everybody wants to be healthy, don't they? Everybody wants to be financially secure and safe, don't they? Prosperity gospel works real good. Because that's what people want. So that's what they speak to. And then they go to the Bible and they find verses that seem to say, "This is, that's what it means, see?" And most of the time they don't fool the Bible very much. They just make it up. God loves you. And God wants the best for you. And God's for you. And God loves you. And that's good enough. Who needs Scripture when you know that? Oh, hallelujah. Presenting lies to you. That's the way it always works. All right, I'll just quit. I've got too much to go to even continue on, so I'll just shut her down. False prophets. It's an important thing. Don't go to the internet, don't go to the radio, don't go to the YouTube and all of those places and just and listen to somebody and just be one in a heartbeat. Man, I can tell you different ones that I've known through the years, I was pretty much taken because they could really preach. But boy, I've seen how they ended and seen the fruit, and now it's made me realize that I can't trust in the way, how well a man can preach, how well he can move my emotions. That doesn't prove that he's of God. I've got a whole bunch more to say about this, but I'll shut it down. Let's get up. Let's stand up. Well, I don't want you to get the idea that you shouldn't listen to anybody. The idea is that you should be careful and discerning. You should know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You can listen to I listen to some. I don't listen to much anymore. I'll be honest with you, I just don't. What I preach to you, I just get it from here, from the Lord. I don't go searching the internet, and I don't go searching through other men's messages and stuff, trying to find something to preach on. No, I never do that. Never, 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 never. I've had preachers ask me lots of times, "Hey man, can I have that outline?" Sure, here you go. See if it does you any good. I could not do that. I could never do that. There's never been a time when I could do that. Take some message some other man preached and preach it myself. I've never been able to do that. Don't be judgmental. You know, don't look at everybody as if they're a false prophet. That's not what I'm trying to get you to do this morning. But there's some red flags, and there's some things that ought to catch your attention if you're wise and discerning and if God is really leading you. And give people time. Don't listen to somebody one time and say, "Well, he says that's the way a lot of these independent Baptist preachers are. They hear one thing that a man says in a whole sermon, one little phrase, and he's done. They're done with him." No. No, sir. I don't know any preacher that's up to that kind of scrutiny. No. Be charitable in this matter, but be careful in this matter. Yeah. I've seen some that started out, and I thought, man, they ain't never going to make it. They're off the track. And they made it. They finally made it, yeah. God has a way. If you really His, He brings you along. And we are a work in progress. I mean, we're growing. And hopefully, going to bear fruit. Good fruit. One of these days. Well, I hope it'll help you. And I pray that it don't mix you up. I pray it don't make you judgmental and critical overly of everybody. I pray that it doesn't make you hesitant about listening to preaching and getting what you can out of it. I've got some good things from people who I now believe were false prophets. But what I got, they said something that was true, and it did help me. I don't mean that I ought to just listen to anybody and everybody and anything. No. If I know somebody's way off, I'm just not going to listen to them, you know. Benny Hinn is way off. Kenneth Copeland is an absolute, you better just leave him alone. Joyce Myers, what in the world? A woman? Preacher? No, I ain't listening to that nonsense. No. Obviously. Way out, so easy to prove with the Word of God that that ain't of God. No way. God never called no women preachers now. No, no sir. No. Or the Bible is not true. You got lots of problems if you're going to say that God calls women to preach the gospel. Now, God uses women. There's plenty of places in the ministry for women to work and have a part. But this ain't one of them. For one thing, a woman cannot speak with authority. Amen. Well, we better quit before I just mess around here and really get in trouble. All right. Bow with me and let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that this will be helpful to people. I pray it'll be instructive and help us all. Lord, it's a thing that I struggle with sometimes also. And Lord, I pray You'd give us understanding and wisdom in this matter. Lord, it's really important. It's life and death. Eternally. That's what is at stake here in this matter. We can be so easily deceived. And then the other part of it is that we may be able to tolerate, listen, and hold on. But while we bring these false teachers and preachers into our life and into our home and churches, our children may be carried away and likely will be by the false teachings and the subtle lies that are put upon them. So Lord, please help us with this and help us in as we study this for a while here that we'll get some good understanding that will help us in this matter. Watch over us now as we go home. Pray You'd give us a good Lord's day to rest. Be with these that are sick and help them. Pray You would be with us tonight and meet with us in the service in Jesus' name. Amen.